take your Bibles, please, and open to the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Numbers, chapter 14. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. And I know this morning that it's only the word of God that speaks to your life that will make any difference. There'll be nothing that I have to say to you, simply what the Spirit of God says to you in response to the Word of God that'll change your life and make you more and more conformity with the person of Jesus Christ. And for this reason, I encourage you to not only read along with me in the reading Numbers 14, but also to keep your Bibles open in your life and to follow along during the preaching of God's Word. We'll begin with verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For ye are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear of it, for thou boughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in the pillar of cloud and in the pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, the nations which have heard, the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore hath he slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. So my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that you numbered, that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Say, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun, which are little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all the silver congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up an evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these things unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning, and got them up on the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place that the Lord had promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye have turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up into the top of the hill. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. And the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in the hill, and smote them, and discomforted them, even unto Hormah. So far, the reading of God's Word. The title of my sermon this morning is A Breach of Promise. Before beginning, let's turn to the Lord and ask His hand of blessing upon us. Father, you put in the scriptures that except the Lord build a house, we labor in vain to build it. It says, the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Yes, and except you feed your people, we go from this holy place unset. And our countenance is on the eloquence of men, or in the exposition even, but rather in the simple teaching of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We request His presence and His teaching. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Numbers 14 is one of the great chapters in the Old Testament. The story of the children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea. And we remember what took place before Kadesh Barnea here in the wilderness of Zin. How the God had redeemed the children of Israel after mighty acts and wonders before the hand of Pharaoh, and had taken them over the past 2 years through all kinds of trials and tribulations, and had done wonderful work for them, had performed miracle after miracle for them. When they were hungry, He fed them out of nothing. When they were thirsty, He brought water for them. And He delivered them from the hands of the Amalekites. And wherever they went and whatever they did, God did a great and a wonderful work for them. And all through the 2 years, God was with them, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, leading them step by step in the way that they should go. They were long and hard years, many lessons to be learned. And now at long last, they were at the threshold of the land of promise, the land of Canaan, that which God had promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, the forefathers of these children of Israel. And now at last was to be theirs, a land flowing with milk and honey. And before going in, Moses had sent 12 men, apprentice from each of the tribes of Israel to do the reconnaissance. Now, I want you to notice here that the objective of these 12 spies was not to determine whether or not Israel should go into the land. That had already been decided. Their objective was to go in and to find out the defenses of the enemy and strategically how the best way it would be to attack them and to take the land. The fact as to whether or not they should go in and take the land wasn't even open for debate or consideration. God had said, go do it. I will be with you. But the spies got back, as the Bible says, an evil report. They went further than the commission to which they had been sent. They not only told them the defenses of the enemy, they began to expand on us and said, oh, the enemy is too great. We're incapable of taking the land. And they began to murmur and they began to complain. And this caused them a great deal of difficulty. 40 years they had to wander in the wilderness because they couldn't believe the promise of God and obey Him. And what a tragedy. And what a lesson it is to teach us today. It took them, beloved, 40 years to take an 11-day journey because they couldn't learn a lesson. And I imagine as they look at the epitaphs of these people of Israel, as they lie there in the wilderness, here I so and so. A man who spent 40 years doing nothing because he couldn't learn a lesson. Here I so and so. A man who wasted his life, who ended up doing nothing because he couldn't learn a simple lesson from God. What a tragedy. What an unspeakable tragedy. Somerset Maugham, in his book, A Human Bondage, wrote these words concerning some of the old people. He says, and these old folk had done nothing. And when they died, it was as though they had never been. And I can't think of anything that is a greater tragedy to be written on the epitaph of any man's grave than here lies Mr. So-and-so. It was as though he had never been. His life accomplished absolutely nothing because he never learned the simple, basic truth of getting his life in tune with God. Now, I want you to notice from the outset of this passage here that the issue before us is not salvation. All those people that died in the wilderness of his men there did not go to hell. Many, many of them went to heaven. The issue here is not salvation. The issue here is fellowship with God. And the problem was unbelief. They did not believe God's promise, and this resulted in broken fellowship. And unbelief always results in broken fellowship. Whenever we say to God, God, I don't believe you, immediately our fellowship with Him is broken. The issue here is fellowship with God. This is the reason why they had to wander for 40 years, because they couldn't believe the promises of God. They didn't ever learn how to trust Him. And I believe that this chapter has three things in it that it wants to teach us that concerns our fellowship with the living God. First of all, the promises of God. Secondly, the desires of man. And thirdly, the motives of repentance. Let's take a look at these very briefly. The promises of God. Now, the ability to take the land of Israel was based upon the promises of God. God said, I will do it. I will take you into the land, and I will personally defeat the enemy, and I will personally give you the land. Don't you worry about it, I'll do it. But notice what it says in the last verse of chapter 13. This was the report of the spies. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of giants. And we were on our own side as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And all of the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and against the whole congregation and said, would of God that we could have died here in the wilderness or stayed back in Israel. Terrible. Well, the point is here that no one ever told them that the children of Israel could defeat the children of Anak. That isn't the argument. Everybody recognizes the children of Anak are giants. God knew that. The issue here isn't Israel's ability to defeat the enemy. The issue here is whether or not God is willing to do what He said He was going to do. That's the issue. Everybody knows that the children of Anak are giants. Everybody knows that the little bit of an army that Israel has is no match for this great and powerful might. But that isn't the issue, says God. The issue is, do you believe me that I'll do it for you? And notice how Moses and Caleb and Joshua intercede.
verses 8 or 7 and 8 are actually 8 and 9. If the Lord be light in us, says these two men, then he will bring us into the land which he gave to us, a land of flow with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are good for us, and our defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, even now. You see, we don't have to worry about these children of Anak, not because Israel got to ignore the armies, but simply because God is with us. And if God be with us, who can be against us? Don't worry about them. God will give them to us. God has promised them to us. And this is the intercession of Moses in verses 17 and 18. Where Moses is pleading with God, and he says, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast promised, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation. And when Moses intercedes on behalf of the people for their sin, it's not on the basis of Israel's might or in Israel's goodness, but simply on the promises of God. You see the lesson that the Bible is trying to teach us here? All the time, we're confronted with the children of Anak. Things loom into our lives that are insurmountable. Things we can't possibly overcome. And God says, I know you can't overcome them. That isn't the issue. The issue is, do you believe that I will overcome them? That I will perform what I promise? Take Abraham, for example. It says in Romans 4, 20 and 21, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. There is the secret of Abraham. Not in his own ability to become the father of many nations. Not his own ability to become the possessor of the land of promise. But he was strong in faith, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to do. And fellowship with God is based upon the promises of God. Pure and simple. And I believe with all of my heart that the tragic problem in the church today resides mainly in the fact that we've never claimed the promises of God. We don't know anything about this. This is a foreign concept and a foreign doctrine to us, claiming the promises of God. And we begin to look at things through the eyes of men, and we go in our own strength and our own efforts, instead of getting into the Bible and seeing what God says and claiming His promises and then staking our convictions and our hope and our trust and our confidence in that. Not what we can do, but what God has promised on a miracle basis. You would think a miracle to defeat the children of Anak. And a miracle God performed. After 40 years they were up, and remember when Joshua brought them into the land of Canaan, remember what happens? They come to the city of Jericho. And how much fighting did the children of Israel do at Jericho? No. They just walked around the city for 7 days and the thing crumbled in front of them. Who won that battle? In Israel? No, God won the battle. The battle is not yours, but God. And this is true in every area of your life. The issue is, do you believe it? And are you willing to take God at His word? Now the Bible is full of exceeding great and precious promises. Over in Peter, he tells us, in 1 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen, exceeding great and precious promises. The book is full of them. From cover to cover, there's nothing but exceeding great and precious promises, and they're in here for you. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of God stands forever, the thoughts of His heart for every generation. And every word that God has in this book is for every generation. And the promises that God gave David in the Psalms, and the promises that God gave Isaiah, and the promises that God gave Jeremiah are for you. The thoughts of God's heart are for every generation. Exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of His divine nature. And let me just ask you this morning, when was the last time you got on your knee and claimed the promise of God? How many promises have you claimed for the year 1964? What are some of the promises that you're staking your life on by faith right now? This happened to the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church has always been based on the promises of God. Walk in fellowship of God is on the promises of God. And they're here for us to cling. Great promises. And we share just a few of them. And I won't give the background as to how God gave them to me. But let me share a few promises that God gave me, just to give you an idea of how you can claim the promises of God. I think of Psalm 84, verse 11. The Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. And that was a promise that God gave me back in California several years ago. In a moment of my despair, when things were insurmountable, when I had nothing I could do but look up, and God gave me that promise, and I can testify today that in the areas in which He promised it, He has fulfilled. Or let me give you another promise, Jeremiah 32, 27, and 33, 3, where it says that, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isaiah 43:4, since I was precious in my sight, I was an honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give many for thee, and people for thy life. You see, these are promises that God has given me as an individual. And these aren't necessarily the promises that you should have. God has some promises in this book picked out for you as an individual. But you've got to do is claim these promises, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. And if I could summarize in one sentence the problem of the children of Israel, the reason why they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, is they refused to claim the promises of God. And I believe that it may be possible that many of you sitting here this morning are wandering in the abyss of nothingness, year after year after year, because you've never learned that simple, basic truth of how to claim the promises of God.